Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
We continue with our Christmas sermon series, The Angelic Announcement. It's my pleasure to be able to deliver the second announcement of the angel to Joseph. And if you missed last week, Pastor Stan kicked off this short series by talking about the angel appearing to Mary. And if you missed last week, I encourage you to go to our online platform, you know, Werribee Church, Baptist Church. Catalyst coming up soon. Website, also our social platform, our YouTube. You can watch or any sermons in the past. You have the pleasure of revisit those messages. Ladies, I want to ask you a question. What is the natural response when you wake up in the morning and find that $4,000 that you put aside, a petty cash that you put aside in your little safe in your home office at home, that are gone missing? And then you ask your husband if he knows anything about it, and he would reply something like this: "Well, I don't know. Maybe the money just disappeared or just walked out of the safe." But money don't have feet. Money don't walk. That's impossible. Maybe our child, you know, took the money and play around, thinks it's toy paper, and then forgot to put it back. But how can a 2-year-old access the code to get into the safe to bring that? Are you kidding? Come on, tell me what's going on here. Discovering that someone has been unfaithful typically triggers a wide range of emotional and behavioral response and reaction. And some experience emotional responses such as shock and disbelief. Others will experience anger and rage, and then we come to a point of feeling sad and grief. And some experience what is called hysterical bonding. I will swallow the pain and stay on in the relationship in order to avoid the stress and the pain of separation. So when you come to that point, others go further and respond with a behavioral kind of reaction by way of confrontation. Let's talk about it day and night. Let's confront this stage here to a point that you go further. I want to find out more information. What's going on here? I'm not going to be happy until I find out what's going on. What happened? Was the child really get into the safe or something else? Until it comes to a point that you are down to make a decision. Serious decision, SD resolution. Reaction to discovering infertility, meaning unfaithfulness in a relationship, whatever it may be, are complex and vary widely among individuals. And the interplay of emotions such as shock and anger, disbelief and intentional desire for connection often complicates the relationship and the healing process. But whether you're a Christian and not a Christian, we can all relate to the experience. So understanding these typical responses help us understand how Joseph must have felt when Mary come and tell him that she's pregnant. Well, some would say, but that's not uncommon in today's world and time and season. So what's the big deal about it? Well, if you're unfamiliar with the story of Jesus' birth, or perhaps kind of know, but not fully grasp the understanding of what had happened and its significance to our Christian faith, let me start by explaining the context of this angelic announcement to Joseph. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was blessed to be married, engaged to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Now, pregnant with another person, if you excuse me, is a human experience, and we all know about it. And yes, that is common, but pregnancy to a Holy Spirit, it is uncommon. It is never heard of. is one and one only event. That is uncommon. Therefore, none of us can relate to this story. Science can't explain what happened, and it's not a magic. We went to watch my granddaughter's dance concert yesterday, and we saw a video interview of 3 or 4 years old asking, one of the questions that was asked is, if you have the magic spell, what would you hope and wanting to see? And there was 3, 4 years old, varies across the board, the responses from fairies to the different Disney characters to turning papers into a rabbit. And it was so, so funny. Now, the Christmas story is not a Christmas magic. Mary didn't come to Joseph and said, hey, Joseph, I want to perform a miracle. Guess what happened? Bang, I'm pregnant. And Joseph said, are you kidding me? Just stop it. Tell me, who's the father of that child? Simple as that. All she said, that I'm pregnant. So let's look at Joseph's response. But as we do, I want you to put yourself in his shoes, that if you were Joseph, and let's apply what I said earlier on, the ERM to start with, the emotional response measure, let's put it there, that if you were Joseph, and Mary come to you, what is your response? Are you shocked at disbelief? My gut feeling is that we were all are. The Bible didn't say so, but we can arguably say that Joseph must have felt the shocks and all of that, because we know later on in his response and come to that decision-making, it reflects there. Are you angry and rage? Yes, I would. There's no mention of anger here, but maybe it's a reflection of his character. He was just that person. Are you sad and grief? Start to feel the pain. Again, there's no mention, but again, we can arguably say that he was sad because it wasn't what he expected. He's getting ready to get married. He was has a lot of things planned, but this was unexpected, so he's probably really sad. And he started to grieve, a loss of hope, a loss of connection, a loss of love, and a loss of trust. Did he experience hysterical bonding? Where are you at? Right at this moment. Ready to go? It seems like it was partially known, because he was still compassionate. He was kind enough to keep everything quiet here as part of his feeling for Mary because of the shame and all of that. And yet, he still left confused. He still decided in his mind to part ways. Secondly, if we apply the BRT, the behavioral responses thermometer, to measure the adrenaline coming through Joseph, let's say if this is you, would you confront Mary and say, we need to sit down? Day of the night and day of night, we just need to get down and talk about this. Tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. The Bible didn't say so here in this case here, but maybe it wasn't a big deal for Matthew. The one, the eyewitness who recorded this report of the account. Maybe it wasn't a big deal. Would you seek more information? It didn't say here that he did, that he would go out and find his family and friends. Let's go and do some, find out more. Let's go and speak to the people in the community if they saw anything, any sign that will hinder what had happened. Decision making. Are you ready to walk away? Joseph was forced to make a decision, and it's likely the option is to divorce and to leave. Here's what the Bible says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the Lord and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Can you just imagine go through his mind? What's going through his mind? Here's the thing. Joseph was a faithful man. He was a good man, he was a religious man, he was a good citizen, and people respected. When our lives are built on faith and grounded in the Word of God, we are more likely to stand the unexpected more than those who don't have faith in God. I think that's important for us to bear in mind. The Bible says it was because of his faithfulness that he was slow to confront, to judge, and to jump to conclusions so quickly to try and fix. But he was quick to be compassionate enough that is the characters of people with faith. It takes time. Joseph had the faith. He was compassionate enough and yet still confused. Why? Because Joseph is no different to you and I. He was still a human being like us. The Bible says that he had in mind that he was still in a place of shock and disappointment and confusion, and he was still thinking about the one and only option according to the Jewish law and the culture. And while he was pressing, you know, processing those feelings and considering the option and talking to himself nonstop, and it was 7 o'clock and 8 and 9 and 10, he was still talking, walking around, couldn't eat, and 11 and 12, and he probably didn't realize that it's 1 o'clock at night, he was still processing, and then all of a sudden, he fell asleep. And what happened next changes the game. We read, but after he had considered this, processing all of this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph. This is what the Lord said. He said, Joseph. Oh, that's painful. Didn't practice that well enough. God says, zip it. I still remember growing up as a child in Tonga, I lost count of the number of times I fought my older brother. And I ended up crying in front of my parents, and whenever I tried to defend myself, my dad will stop me saying, Tapu ni hongutu. Can you all say that? Tapu ni hongutu. Oh, that's too hard. Tapu ni hongutu. Do you know what that means? Just shut your mouth. No words. Enough. No words. And I would sit there and cry. It's almost like it's being just zipped. It's just like that guy. It's almost close to no words. And you sit there for a while. I see something similar in my household, and it is called timeout. Whenever I see that, my grandson, I remind those days. Sometimes when we face shocking and challenging situations that are unexpected, our natural reaction is to react by finding ways to respond or to fix them now and not later. We want to, sometimes we'd want to get up and start fighting and keep fighting, or give up and throw the towel and walk away. On Tuesday this week, I met with this fellow pastor, and he shared with me what happened the night before. He was driving later in the evening to take his son to work, and for some reason he turned the wrong lane and went the wrong, and they ended up heated argument. There was other things involved, but it just blew up the conversation with his son, 30 plus years, and he just went on and demanding dad to reply, but dad, unlike me, as he was talking, he just decided to keep his mouth closed, and he just keep it silent. And I sat there and said, if that was me, I would stop, pull over the side, open the door and say, out, son. This is my car, and I am your father, and you do not dare speak to me like that. I'm glad that this pastor was a lot more holier than me. He had a lot of patience. He decided to keep his mouth shut. And he wasn't sure what's going to turn out when they arrive. And they arrive, and just before the sun got out, he turned to his father and said, Dad, I'm very sorry for my behavior. And Dad said to me, it has been a long time since that son said sorry to him. When we face an unexpected challenging situation, our usual attempt is to fix the problem, when sometimes the best thing that we can do is simply do nothing, say nothing, tapuni. We might think it's a sign of weakness, or surrender, but we learn from this story and from the story of Joseph, there is power in silence. Not doing anything or say anything can be a powerful catalyst that will change the game, bring healings and reconciliation, as we've seen from this story. And Joseph's initial reaction is one of uncertainty in a world filled with noise and opinions and troubles and confusion. God's call for Joseph to mute his mouth serves as a reminder of the power of silence in discerning God's will. That silence is an act of faith. By remaining quiet, he opened himself to the divine revelation. And so in our life, we often face moments when we feel compelled to speak out or react immediately. However, there are times when God invites us to just put the pause, to listen, to reflect, trust in his plan. The silence allows us for deeper understanding and acceptance of God's will. So when Joseph was in a confused, silent mode, God intervened. Let's have a look. The verses continue. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." God is saying, "Joseph, remember who you are. It's not the Joseph that your family and your relative and your friends know. It's not the Joseph that the people in the community, the society know. It's not the good-looking Joseph that you are. You are the ultimate offspring of the ultimate King David." Wow. Okay, sometimes we forgot that we are a follower of Christ. We are the children of the Most High. We are the most beautiful people created on this earth because we're following Christ and believing God. And he said, "Do not be afraid." And Pastor Stan explained it last week beautifully. Do not be afraid. And this is a very popular phrase that we see throughout the scripture because it is God's way of speaking to his people. Do not be afraid. I am a God. I will always be with you. I will be there till the end. Trust me and listen. I give you an assignment. That is to Joseph, take Mary as your wife. Can you imagine Joseph just thinking, "Okay, Lord, but why? It's not really my child. The public will gossip about us. The letter of the law says that if your partner is unfaithful, you have the right to divorce. I'm just confused, Lord. What should I do?" And the angel replied, "Joseph, it is because," when you ask why, "it's because it's God's plan. It is not your plan. It's not Mary's plan. It's not your relative and your uncle and your grandparents. It's not your friend. It's not the community. It's not the teacher of the Lord. It is not any human being's plan. It is God's divine plan." Simple as that. End of the story. Mary's going to give birth to a savior of the world. Did you hear that? Isn't that big enough for you? "Oh, it sounds good, Lord, but why me? By the way, it wasn't what I expected of Mary. And the child, I was just expecting a little boy, cute, running around, and name him Joey. And I want to raise Joey to become a carpenter to keep the business going when I die. That's all I expected. That's all I wanted." At the wedding on Friday, we sat around the table and we had a good conversation. Someone said to me, when they hit the classes, you know what that means? Everybody hit the classes, and yeah, you know what I mean. And then someone said, "Do you remember that, the day of your wedding?" I said, "Yes, I remember that, even though I didn't have the pleasure of that, because we didn't have classes in Spoon back in the time I got married. But I remember 34 years ago, I told my wife, day one, I'm going to marry you. because God says that you're going to be my wife, and here's what we're going to do. We'll be living in a mansion somewhere similar, if not to Hawaii. I'll be driving Mercedes, and hopefully I'll become a CEO of Qantas Airline. We'll have 12 kids because 12 is biblical, and 30 grandchildren, an army, and you know, so beautiful. None of them happens because it's not true. 34 years ago, all I remember was this. God wants us to get married because God has a purpose for us, and I didn't know what that purpose is. And if you ask my wife, she will tell you when she grew up watching her grandparents in ministry, she was hoping that one day she will marry a pastor. When she told me that later, I said, you'll marry a wrong guy. I wanted to become an industrial chemist, and I studied applied chemistry. Then God fulfilled our dreams, and this is how he did it, by changing my plan to fulfill Anne's dream so we can both serve him. And he gave up this part of the blessing of what God has planned all along. We didn't have 12 children and 30 grandchildren. We only had three, a beautiful granddaughter, and three grandchildren. You know what? I didn't know. I had no idea that God will create a three beautiful grandchildren good-looking like their grandfather. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are beyond blessed with this family. And that's just my, you know, we all very different. You have your own. We're sincere with the ministry that we are called to serve. Have my daughter, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law are serving in ministry, and the others are serving in a different way. What more can I ask for? Just so beautiful. And we are grateful for a church here that we belong to. What more can I ask for? You know, my boy needs this. If you only plan for tomorrow and next week, next month, or next year, God plan beyond 1 year. God plan a 10 and 15, 20 and 30 years. If you only think about the job today, God has many opportunities waiting. If you think that Brisbane is the only sunshine and the only place that God will, that is the place to serve God, Melbourne is also a good city. Pastor Charlie knows that. He thought he's going to live in Christian Fall, and here we are. If you think that life is too hard, you want to know how to fix things, and you're confused, God say, Tapuni, zip it, listen, be quiet, until I talk to you, until you make a move. And you think that this is all you do, you're not good enough and not worthy, you know what? God will use you like he did to Joseph. God revealed not a magic show, but a mystery divine assignment, an assignment that is beyond what Joseph expected, beyond his imagination. And what happened next is really crucial and important because the climax of the story awaits Joseph's response and his next move. What will he do? Will he listen to the public opinion of the people in the society, his neighbors, his parents, and the advice around him? Will he follow the law of the righteous in his day? Will he pay attention to his emotional burden, or will he listen to what he heard from God? Let's find out. The next verse, he says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph woke up and not confronting Mary. He didn't woke up and wanted to seek information from the public or conforming to the pattern of the society around him. He didn't woke up and not announcing his decision to divorce Mary, not listening to his inner pain. Instead, he welcomed the announcement. He went ahead to pursue the announcement. He obeyed the announcement. He acted on the basis of what was announced. He took Mary to be his wife, and he named the baby Jesus. Pastor Stan last week talked about when you feel frustrated, give up. It's about letting God, and it's about surrender to God. This week, when you feel confused, stopuni shala. That is listen, trust, and obey. You know, Joseph's acceptance of this mystery required him to step outside of that rational thinking, rational understanding, into the realm of faith. The angel reassured him that nothing will be impossible with God, according to Luke's gospel, encouraging him to embrace what he cannot fully comprehend or understand himself. It's called living with uncertainties. In our journey of faith, we too are called to accept uncertainties without needing all the answers. Needing all the answers can lead us to rely more to make sure that we got the right answers before we make a move. And weeks come, months, years come, and we're still waiting for the right answers instead of trusting and waiting on God and depending on Him. And Joseph's story teaches us that faith often requires us to trust in God's promises even when circumstances seem insurmountable. His silent obedience becomes a model for us and as we navigate our own challenges. Now, why this story? When I was born, May in 1908, 68. My parents took me when I was a baby, when mom came up from the hospital, took me to the local priest or minister in the church in my village back in Tonger. It's typical, most people will do that because they wanted to get a blessing and hopefully get a good name, biblical name. And the minister, the local minister, named me Enoke. And Enoke in the Bible is Enoch. So if you're not familiar with Enoch, go to the Old Testament and look up Enoch. There's not much mention about him, but he was one of the two people that didn't experience natural death. They were just left to heaven. And mom and dad came home very, very excited about this name here and hoping and waiting for one day to see their son took off until their son go to school. I lost count of the time the school reported home of how naughty I am. I was fighting at school. I was talking back to the teachers. I was the naughty kid, one of the naughty kids in the classes and home and even at church. Dad used to chase me around the church for being naughty in there. You know, my parents didn't get to see me went up to heaven. They died. But what they got to see, they were there in my ordination. They got to see a promise fulfilled of the minister's naming that one day this little baby is going to be a pastor. And for them, it was a beautiful thing. It was great. The angel explained to Joseph what is about to happen. And it might seem like a shocking news or mysterious excitement to Joseph, but it's not really a new thing. It was predicted, it was prophesied a long time ago, and we just sung that. He just need to remember what was told and predicted. And it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us again. Love singing that today. Joseph plays a crucial role in fulfilling the prophecy here mentioned in this verse. Though it's not explicitly mentioned in the verse, his action, his objective, his response to God's instruction are instrumental in bringing about the fulfillment of God's Old Testament prophecy regarding the birth of Jesus. And if you think about his role can be summarized in several aspects, a little bit of his character. He was obeying the divine guidance. He was the protector of Mary and Jesus. He did all he can, being husband and also a father. He became the legal father of Jesus, and he ended up named Jesus. It was such a blessing, and he facilitated the prophecy. Hey, I'm a part of what God has prophesied. Isn't that exciting? Now, that was Joseph's assignment. You have your own assignment, and I have my own assignment. It's not the same. All of us have our own. in God's divine plan. However, the plan sometimes might not always be a sweet experience, you know, not an immediate reality. So what we learn from Joseph's assignment is that when we face uncertainties, we are certain in his plan. Joseph's faithful response to God that we find position him as key figure in the nativity narrative, ensuring that Jesus' birth aligns with the prophetic announcement, expectation, and safeguarding the family of God, including the church here today. That was his assignment, an assignment that was built first on uncertainties, did not have all the answers, but Joseph came to a point that he is now certain of God's plan and respond. And he taught us that living with uncertainties, it's about accepting uncertainties without needing all the answers. We don't need all the answers. Joseph did not need all the answers to commit to the mission of God has assigned him to do, to be a part of the bigger mission. Sometimes we want to have all the answers before we make a move, we make a decision, we decide to leave. And yet all we need is to trust and obey. You know, even though it might take a little longer than expected, any length of time, a period of uncertainties, it's strengthening our trust in God. This is where we grow. It may be that season where waiting might seem a long time, weeks and months and years. It took me a while. I went through a lot of uncertainties in order to get to where I am today. And I'm sure the same with you. But here's the thing. Waiting on God develops our ability to persevere. It doesn't have to happen automatically. Once you decided to follow Jesus, it doesn't happen like that. Now, Joseph had been a faithful man for some time, but his experience of perseverance didn't really happen till this moment. Waiting builds faith in our characters. He became that man that obeyed and followed. He was a compassionate man. He was slow to act and try to fix things. He slowed down, waiting to listen for God. Waiting on God shifted our perspective. Joseph had a different plan, but God has a better plan, and it shifted his perspective to something much bigger than what he was for to think about. Sometimes we look at things and we thought, well, this is what we want from a selfish ambition, kind of selfish purpose. But God changes that. And sometimes waiting on God provides an opportunities. We might only see one or two, not knowing that our capabilities, our talents, our times, our gifting, our everything, our relationship, everything have the potential for more. Waiting on God can reveal God's full faithfulness, and he did to Joseph. And I know you and I, he can achieve his divine purpose if only you obey and listen. And waiting on God encourages stillness and rest. Rest to our body, rest to our mind, our soul. It can be really tiring when we look at the clock. When are we going to get the answer? When are we going to get the solution? When are we going to get the best idea? When are we going to get this? And we look and then get to a point and we are tired and we give up. When all we need is sit back and rest and wait. Joseph is a model for our lives today. It reflects on his experience. It encourages us to consider how we might respond when faced with unexpected news or difficult decision. Because God may be inviting us to a space of silence, not as a sign of weakness, but as an opportunity for growth and understanding. In moments where we feel overwhelmed, confused, let us remember Joseph's example. When God leaves you confused, God wants you to pay attention. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for Joseph's example that reminds us of the importance of listening carefully, taking time because your divine purpose, our individual assignment, collectively as a church. We just pray, God, that help us to realize the importance of waiting on you. And thank you, Lord, there might be someone here who are in that season of that long waiting for something to happen. I just pray and speak into that, Lord. I pray that you continue to bring clarity, continue to work on revealing your divine purpose, the now and when to wait, and when they need to move. But the most important thing, Lord, that help us, Lord, to pay attention to your divine direction and guidance. And so, God, we just pray that as we leave from here, as we continue with the third angelic announcement that take us to remember the ultimate purpose of God, that all of this to be fulfilled. Help us, Lord, to deal with some of these things, anything that stand in the way of us celebrating the birth of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be able to walk out here confidently knowing that we can experience that peace within us so that we can wait on you for your guidance. We thank you for speaking deeply into our lives this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and God's people say, amen.